What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
2019, the second night of the 2019 WWE Draft. I am Glenn Rubenstein. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Matt Morgan should be along shortly, but in the meantime, I'm joined by one half of Team Rajback, Raj Geary.
Yeah, man, that was a long show.
Oh, this feels like the least essential WWE draft of all time.
Man, I mean, I tweeted this earlier. It just felt like the most uninspired draft that they've ever done. Just like no excitement. Just Stephanie just reading the names, and I mean, it was just done in the most dull way possible. I felt like, I mean, outside of, you know, I don't know what else you could do worse. But if you watch the old draft shows where they would have like the surprises and the wrestlers come out, you know, when they're drafted. You know, when you'd have the competing GMs, when you had the Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff, or, you know, Shane Steph or whoever, it just makes it so much more exciting and entertaining. And this was just not it. It was just very run of the mill. This guy is moving. And then they had those cheesy war room segments, which just, I thought, just made everything seem worse. So I this was a long show for me. I had a hard time sitting through it.
It sucked.
It sucked. We were saying this is the worst draft I've ever seen that WWE do.
I was happy to see Shelton Benjamin get some love.
That is one thing. There are a lot of people that don't get much TV time that were on the screen tonight. So, you know, Buddy Murphy getting a match in there, Shelton, yeah, Cedric. That, by the way. Yeah, that was good.
Now, we were talking about this off the air, Matt. Do you think WWE is in danger of taking the wrong message from AEW? AEW has been very light on storytelling, especially on TV thus far. Tonight felt like they literally said, just let them go out there, put on good matches. That's what the fans want to see. We just need to do a little bit of story. But, you know, for the most part, you can just put two people out there and the fans will be into it.
I'll be honest. I don't feel no one's going to want to hear this, but I don't think they're reacting to them yet. Yeah. Like that, in that manner, just yet for Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
NXT, yeah. But with the two flagship shows, not just yet. They will, just not yet.
Yeah, I think if people were expecting WWE to change, you know, some of their formula, you know, with AEW, I think we're seeing that that's not going to happen.
They're that arrogant.
Yeah. And, you know, SmackDown, we'll talk about the ratings later, dropped 1 million viewers last week. It's characters and storylines. That's what it's always been.
What was the number on SmackDown?
It was 2. I believe it was 898.
Yeah, it's literally 1 million.
Yeah. Okay. So,
how does that rank against its normal ranking rating used to get?
It was down around 2 million viewers, 2.1. This was a draft show first weekend, so the numbers were expected to be higher, and they're back on Dish Network now too, and still suffered a big drop.
When it was on USA, what numbers was it getting? 2.1?
Yeah, like 2.1. So yeah, it's still beating that for now. And it's got to, just being on Fox.
Let me take a cue from the WWE commentary team and positively bury tonight's show. Matt, could you imagine if tonight pulls the highest rating ever for a WWE draft show? Could you imagine what that would be like and how validating that would be for WWE creative?
You're stuck on, yeah, you hate that, don't you?
They did it twice tonight. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just, and commentary sucked tonight. Sucked the worst. I mean, it was worse than week one was.
Jerry Lawler in the ring was pretty rough. Oh, that entire segment actually was pretty rough.
Yeah.
This is why they don't, guys, I love Braun. He's my boy, but this is why they do not just randomly let him talk.
And Tyson Fury is a hell of a talker, but they've overscripted these things to.
They managed to find a way to have the best promo in sports, I would argue. He's a top 10 person, absolutely, he easily is. Top 10 shit talker in all the sports. And they've managed to find a way to dull in him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how was the take? I keep hearing it between Jim Ross's podcast every once in a while. I'm not trying to give cheap plugs, but I've heard on his. I've heard Jericho talk about it in his interviews for AEW. How is any writer, and I'm not just saying this is a crap on writer because I'm a former wrestler and that's what wrestlers do. That's not what I mean by this. But how they want these guys and gals to go out and make the connection with the fans, get the fans vice versa to make that emotional investment in the performer. How is the fan supposed to get to know these talents and know what they're about, what their insides, what their brain's thinking, all that good stuff that we used to know about all our favorite wrestlers back in the day, if none of it is authentic or organic and it is 100% scripted, it's not real, it's not who they truly are, how can a writer tell Matt Morgan who the hell Matt Morgan is when Matt Morgan gets punched in the face and how I'm going to react? You can't tell me how. Only I know that. Only I know what I'm going to do in return. Only I know what I'm going to do, what I would say in that moment. Only I would know what I would do physically to that person in that moment. And it's not going to be the same thing everybody else would do. Do you know what I mean? Only mm-hmm. I know that.
Yeah.
How dare they say and think and then continue to insult the performer. I get pissed on the performer's behalf now, not just the fans, but the performer's behalf, that they don't think enough of them to just let them go. This is the chance. You guys have had a monopoly for years. You're finally getting your competition. And there's ever a time to say, hey, it's not what it used to be. What's the one thing, the only thing we have not yet tried and put more focus on? And that's the writing and creative and getting the F out of these talents' way.
Yeah, I mean, me and Ryback had talked about this on his last podcast, but the comment, but I mean, you know, I don't want to turn everything into AEW versus WWE or, you know, trying to, you know, because I know some fans get annoyed hearing you say good things about AEW. But doesn't I feel like AEW has the best commentary right now on TV with Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross and Excalibur. And they are the least produced, you know, commentary.
That's team. For sure. Jim Ross gave me my job. I can never talk smack about the guy. I love him to death.
And Tony Schiavone is just a naturally smooth.
Too. He is too. I don't feel they know the younger talent that well yet. They're learning them.
Yeah.
You know better what I mean? And I still feel like they're adults talking about kids at the kiddie table at times. Every once in a while. Every once in a while I get that feeling. But I still like Mauro. Maybe I've not watched enough of Ronaldo to be annoyed with him yet. But yeah. I like yeah. I wish he would call my match with that kind of exuberance.
Yeah, no, I like Mauro too. But yeah, the Raw and SmackDown commentary teams, it's just oh hard to listen to.
Oh my God.
Case in point tonight, Andrade, first round draft pick, showcase match immediately after. Zelina Vega comes out and cuts a promo, sure to get people talking. Andrade's in there working his ass off. And yeah. Lawler, the experienced Hall of Famer at the commentary booth, all he can think of to put this kid over is a little joke about, is he related to Mario Andrade? And just silence, crickets.
Because this is an example of what I was saying about Jim Ross and Schiavone at times is they don't know the talents yet. It's not as bad. They're not as bad as Raw as Lawler, but it's obvious he doesn't know these talents. He doesn't want. He's not been keeping up on the product.
And some of those jokes he tells are like from 93. Like those are like the Castro in his hair. That's that joke he's been just telling that forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sucks. And these are, and mind you, not that you want to be reliant on the announce team to get you over. Your job is to get yourself over. But you should be getting with the announce team before your matches. I always did. I always used to get with Don West because I know he would go bonkers on my stuff. I know he'd go overboard and really hype and sell my stuff for me. But say what you want about the guy. I could always talk to him and have him implement certain things like my move sets, certain moves I've named.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And things like that. But same with Mike Tenay. Mike Tenay, I would talk and say, hey, you know, let I go at some point in the match, drop something if it fits about, you know, trying to – I've watched nothing but tape on Ernie Ladd or Andre the Giant or John Studd or some of these older Giants. And I really tried to push that blueprint moniker of the perfect Giant 2.0, whatever, when I was at TNA. Yeah. But it was the announced team because it was part of the package, you know what I mean, if you do it right.
Yeah.
So we open tonight – with a tease for the Firefly Funhouse, showing what's happened recently with Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins. Clear tonight that after the poor reception at Hell in a Cell that the outcome of that match had, and very little mention of it last week, tonight they were going to set up a through line between Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins, hyping their just announced match to Crown Jewel coming up in Saudi Arabia on Halloween. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair opened the show with the idea that Charlotte was representing SmackDown, Becky representing Raw, and the winner is going to get the first pick, the first brand. I mean, Becky being the champ, Raw getting three picks to SmackDown's two, it seemed obvious who was winning. What did you think of Charlotte's promo, Matt, and reigniting their feud now that they're going to be on the same brand, setting it up tonight with saying, I miss being friends with you, and then cheap-shotting her?
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. You're going to get good matches out of these two.
Yeah. I wonder if it's enough for Raw, though, Raj. What do you think the expectation is with that match happening on Raw? With SmackDown, it made sense that maybe they were hoping a crossover audience.
Charlotte versus Becky?
Yeah, again. Yeah, I mean,
why is that not enough for Raw?
I think on SmackDown, I could see almost the idea that on SmackDown, they're hoping to draw new eyeballs. But with Raw, I mean, is USA, they're not putting half the marketing muscle behind Raw that Fox is behind SmackDown.
What would that have to do with the girls not being
over? Well, no, I think it's good.
Whatever it is to be the main girls on Raw, though.
Yeah, I'm into it. I think a lot of people, though, it seems like the more hardcore fans that are watching week in and week out, and we've seen on this podcast and in the comments, they feel it's a retread. It's something we've seen so many times.
Yes, it is.
Okay. It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, they got to start building some new talent. You know,
they started with Lacey. What the hell are they doing with her?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the problem with that. They'll make someone feel important for a couple months and then they just drop them. And then
you can't do that with her, though.
I know.
It's like me. Jim Ross once told me this, too. I can't be booked as a mid-card act. If I'm on a main event act, I'm fired. I don't have a job, basically, because of the way I look back then. Same with Lacey. Lacey, you can't just hide in the front of the show. And just put her in this little like jobber match with so-and-so and have her lose. It looks weird. It sticks out like a sore thumb. It doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't because she screams star that much.
Yeah.
Physically, too. She's just bigger.
Yeah. This was a good match tonight between the two of them with Becky picking up a win. Surprise roll-up.
I guess we could talk about this later, but who'd you guys think got the better end of the draft?
Ugh. Honestly, I don't even know how to evaluate that.
It somehow feels different but the same.
It doesn't feel, no, to me, that's what I'm saying. What are the big ones that got changed here? I didn't feel anything different. We knew Brock was going to SmackDown. Maybe if he didn't wrestle Kofi for the championship and win, and he just stayed off that first SmackDown, for instance, and then just got randomly drafted to SmackDown, that would be very big news.
Yeah. Braun is probably one. Braun to SmackDown's a bigger one. Bray, which this is another thing. They're talking about how this draft really matters now, right? And now they're going to be separate. Well, first thing they do is they have Bray on SmackDown. He's feuding with the Raw guy, with Seth, and they announce a match coming up at Crown Jewel between them. And then same thing with Ray. Ray's involved with the Cain Velasquez feud. They put him on Raw when Brock is on SmackDown. So it's like you're just killing the lines that you're drawing between the two shows right off the bat.
This is what wrestling needs. The reason we like wrestling is because there's a predictable structure to it that we've all been following since we've been 6 years old or ever when we all first started watching wrestling, right? There's these imaginary, they ever see like a run-in or when somebody's getting to a fight, middle of the ring, and then the heel powders and gets out, but then these three ropes stop the babyface from going through the ropes and then following the guy up the ramp and whipping his ass some more. You ever notice how that never happens? Like ropes stop him?
Right.
There's just all these unwritten rules of pro wrestling that just make sense to us because it's been drilled in our heads from the beginning since we were little boys and little girls watching, right? So WWE needs to remember that we love these rules. We love these structures that they give us. So the biggest structure is people that can and cannot wrestle on a show. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like somebody, imagine just watching a Yankee Red Sox game and freaking the dude from the Twins just shows up and starts batting third. What the fuck? Why are you here?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's shouldn't be hard to do. You make up you're creating the rosters. You know, you have all the flexibility you need. So they also announced there's going to be a blockbuster trade tomorrow that they're going to name on backstage. All the big names are already drafted, so I guess it'd be like Bray or someone like that that gets traded.
Hey, before I forget, tell your boy Ryback to hook me up with some of his new supplements. I'm no longer with BPI, so I can rep whoever I want.
Okay, cool.
I want to try it out. Stuff looks good.
Sounds good.
Cheap plug. But I'm gonna forget to ask it. I just, you know what I'm talking about though, with the rules that we all grew up watching.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and the draft is a huge one. It used to be.
Yeah. Right back versus Matt Morgan.
Because we are old, or I'm old.
Yeah, like one of your rules is when someone's music hits, you know, when they come out to do a run in. Well, in reality, what that means is that person is running to find a music guy, going to tell the music guy that he's going to be coming out. You know, like when you think about what that actually is, but we accept it.
Yes. Right? Yes. Totally.
Yeah.
It's also silly. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about tonight. A lot to talk about. Oh, WWE. You make being a fan, it's like you're trying to make it hard on purpose to test our loyalty, but not nearly as hard as ticketing websites make getting to the event. They make it even more difficult than WWE makes it to watch their programming on a weekly basis. It's as if ticketing websites are so big they can know they can get away without caring about the customer experience. Wait, that sounds familiar. It's like their site's annoying. They don't have what you want. It's the status quo. And you know what? It pisses me off. The real question is, how easy would it be if there was a company, if there was a ticketing site that actually cared? And there is. It's the sponsor of tonight's episode, which is SeatGeek. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves that there's a better way. The WWE could take some notes from SeatGeek. With SeatGeek, they know what you want. You want sports, live music, comedy, wrestling, the theater, and more. And SeatGeek has those tickets that you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek has decided to stand out from the crowd. They built the fastest way to find tickets so you can stop searching for the perfect seat and just, you know what, start enjoying it. Why is SeatGeek better than the rest? Well, a quick look at the App Store shows over 50,000 five-star reviews. How's that for customer satisfaction? And it's a better process. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. They rate each on a scale of 1 to 10. And SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. No longer looking at this and saying, well, I have to Google, and is one the row or is one the opposite of the row? No, SeatGeek has it all right there for you. You know where you're sitting. You know if it's a good deal or not. They break down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots mean overpriced. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. People are tweeting us all the time now saying, hey, I'm buying AEW tickets with the SeatGeek app. I'm using it for my next trip to New York. I'm going to go see some concerts and theater. SeatGeek has got the hookup. It's the fastest and easiest way to find tickets. Raj, you went to a game the other night, correct?
Yeah, I mean, here it is on the screen. Titans and the Broncos yesterday. Literally, it was kind of a last-minute thing. We decided over the weekend, my wife and I, to take our daughters and went to SeatGeek, made it super simple. And the ticket's right there in the app. You get to the stadium, you show it, and they make it super easy. Going to another Broncos game on Thursday, so SeatGeek is the way to go.
I use the app all the time. Going to be using it to go to Vegas again, see some shows there. I love it, and we've got an even better deal for our audience. SeatGeek is already so incredible, you're going to love using it. But SeatGeek is going to give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Here's what you do. Download the SeatGeek app today. Use the promo code INC for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's promo code INC for $10 off your first purchase. We thank SeatGeek for sponsoring the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Love having these sponsors that we love actually using. And it's really changed the way that I go out about and do things. And I think it's going to do the same for you as well. And Raj, we get tweets all the time from people that absolutely love SeatGeek for buying tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the best. I mean, Raw was in Denver tonight. If I was going to go, I would have used SeatGeek. But after sitting through that SmackDown draft show, I'm like, I'm not going to go to Raw and sit through 3 hours of it.
Promo code INC, save $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Okay, so we have first round one of the draft tonight. Do you have the results handy? I've got here Seth Rollins was first thing on Raw, then Brock Lesnar, WWE champion on SmackDown. Funny that the champions would be drafted to the brands whose belts they have. Charlotte going to Raw, The New Day staying on SmackDown, and Andrade and Zelina Vega are going to Raw. Then we get Andrade versus Ali. Vega comes out, called the Four Horsewomen, horse face women. Whoa, shots fired. Andrade and Ali, I thought, put on a fantastic
match. Yeah, while Andrade is dating one of those women. So it's kind of funny. Yeah.
Makes it even better. Yeah. I love Zelina. I think Zelina should get as much mic time as possible.
She should.
She's awesome. I mean, they're a great act. If they just, the problem always is with, and they do this with so many talents, where they'll give them a push for a couple weeks and then they're just forgotten about. So you never get that momentum going.
Yeah. He was kind of a surprise, like Drew McIntyre was Friday at the end of the first round. I like that they kind of mixed it up a little bit. It wasn't all the obvious people you thought it would be. Yeah. What'd you think of this match, Andrade versus Ali, Matt?
It was a great match.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very good match.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the action for the most part on tonight's show was good. It's just a lot of
took forever.
This show and I think because so many of the talents that they had matches for have not really been used or had real storylines or feuds. So
right. So what did it make you feel? It made you feel like, okay, this is a really cool match. This is a good match. I have to purposely turn my brain off right now and realize that no matter who wins this match, they're not going to get anything out of this. Not going to get a push out of this. That's what I had to do with that match. Because there's no reason Ali shouldn't have one. There's no reason why Homeboy shouldn't get one either, a consistent one. Mm-hmm. And with these other, I'm not trying to compare, you know, F it. Who cares what people say? I will compare it. AEW doing wins and losses mattering. You would think this would make WWE, if anything, treat them a little bit more serious and more important. There is such a thing as a push. There is such a thing as wins actually mattering and helping that push go. If these superstars of our past that we grew up idolizing and worshiping, from Hogan to Flair to whoever, Rock and Stone Cold, everybody, Brock Lesnar during his meteoric rise even. Can you imagine if they were doing 50-50 booking with him?
Oh, gosh.
Like second or third match he just lost?
Or Undertaker or any superstar?
There's a reason for it. There's a reason why it didn't happen, because it was logical. It made sense. Mm-hmm. That has not changed. That has not changed. You don't get to tell us who you think the superstars are that we're going to automatically like and shove them down our throats. It doesn't work. It's never worked, and it's never worked any less than it does today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't get how they're not getting this memo. I don't get it.
Yeah. And so what you have is a bunch of matches without characters that are over or storylines.
It fires me up, honestly. It does. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, because we say this all the time. The talent, they're great. I mean,
the best roster they've ever had. Wrestling-wise, I would argue.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And I didn't like this tonight. So with Seth saying, oh, I'm going fiend hunting. I'm looking for the fiend. And on commentary, this is if Bray Wyatt jumps the shark, I think it might have been with this. When Vic Joseph tonight said, I have breaking news. Bray Wyatt's promising a new Firefly Funhouse segment in response to Seth Rollins saying he will hunt him tonight. Bray shouldn't be announcing that. Like, well, stay tuned, guys.
You don't think you should be text messaging people that? No?
They're killing Bray. Yeah, he's awesome, but they're quickly turning him. I mean, he was the coolest thing just a couple months ago, and they're quickly just pissing all over it.
Because they know it's the only thing people care about.
but they're going to make it. They're going to turn fans against him soon enough if they keep, you know, they keep with this stuff. Already they did it with Seth. Seth, fans are booing him like crazy now. And, you know, Bray could get some on him too.
Yeah.
How corny parts of this feud are.
Andrade won that match. After that, second round of tonight's picks, women's tag team champions Asuka and Kairi Sane are going to Raw. Daniel Bryan staying on SmackDown.
I like that. I like that. Them coming to Raw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she did say it still will be cross-brand as long as they're champions. Right. Rusev going to Raw. SmackDown women's champion Paley is staying on the brand. And Aleister Black going to Raw. Then, oh man. What's
so funny about that, Giggles?
No, I was more about Bailey. Like the SmackDown Women's Champion staying on SmackDown?
It wasn't predictable. No.
I mean, who would have thought?
Yeah, sorry.
But that would have, at least that would have been a surprise, right? If you had the SmackDown Women's Champion go to Raw, it wouldn't have been as predictable. But yeah, they should have just kept champions out of it. Like, champions are automatically, you're already on your show.
So, Matt, how are you emotionally dealing with the fact that the LARPers, the Viking Raiders tonight, went over and won the championship from Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler?
It's a travesty. It is. But I hate it.
Ziggler and Roode are moving to SmackDown, though, and I can see them doing really well over there. So,
I hope so.
This match got a really good reaction. Fans were super into it. Viking Raiders, this was the most over I've seen them. Another long one, but it was another long match.
Matt, how over do you think the Viking Raiders are where I haven't seen a single person in the audience wearing their makeup?
It's not going to happen. There's nobody at home with a freaking poster of them on their wall. There's no, I mean, no.
There was the guy in the war room that was wearing the face paint. Did you see him?
There was him.
Of course he was. No, the gimmick is so corny. I'm sorry, it just is.
I can't believe they reused the war room footage tonight.
I can't believe that you got Roode and Ziggler together as a tag team. Guys that can actually freaking work. Guys could both cut promos if you just let them be. And this is the best you've got for them.
Traditional champs.
Let's hope that when they're on SmackDown, you get the Usos on there. I mean, they could tear that up. Ooh, you know?
God, yeah. I'd pay money to watch that feud. I swear to God, I would.
All the shots in the war room tonight, and Cletus, the Fox football robot, how long until he holds the 24/7 championship?
I actually think I popped for that. I like the robot, guys. I'm the only one I know. The robot.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, it's clear the war room stuff was all filmed, you know, ahead of time last Friday. They were wearing the same clothes.
Yeah.
It just made everything feel uncool.
Sad?
Yeah, just uncool, just corny. It was...
You think so?
It almost felt like they were making fun of the draft with it.
Like, I mean, if you go back and watch it, my favorite is like when they're trying to, like, after they have a celebration or whatever, they're picked and they act like they're talking to one another. And like the other one's not even looking at the other that's talking to them, like across the table from one another.
Yeah. And that they're throwing confetti for the Miz and dancing. I was like, oh my God.
Hey, I like the sports. Attempt.
Yeah.
But you need a GM, you need a coach, you need somebody to have a draft feel like it's a team, not just Stephanie out there reading names, right?
Yeah.
The reading names was terrible. Like the past drafts where they have the wrestlers come out to their music and put the shirt on and, you know, it just stuck more as opposed to just reading.
Come on, they're also just delaying the inevitable, guys, which is none of this is going to matter 6 months from now.
Yeah, I mean, once ratings start falling again to desperate levels, they're going to combine the rosters back. We've seen it time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We got round three. Cedric Alexander staying on Raw. Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn are staying on SmackDown. Humberto Carrillo is going to Raw while Ali is staying on SmackDown.
Who the hell is he?
We saw him on NXT.
I don't remember him.
We talked about him.
He hasn't done anything on the main roster yet, but he's good. We'll see.
Kid.
Is he a cruiserweight?
He was. He did stuff.
Not interested. Next.
Oh, no, wait. He's the one that was Ninja Ultimo. That's him. That
even less about. Interested. Next.
Ninjas are cool, dude. Then... Oh, Eric Rowan is going to Raw.
Ultimo Ninja. Yeah.
Ultimo Ninja.
Eric Rowan, no mention of Luke Harper. So...
Was he not drafted, Luke Harper, at all?
Nope.
Huh. Okay, so then there's a good reason then for the draft then, right? It gets spotlight to people that normally wouldn't get. Like we said, Shelton got his name put out there. and you just said right there, Harper, what was his name? Come on. Not
Humbert.
You just said his name, his partner. Not
Harper.
Harper.
The other one.
Rowan.
Mm-hmm. They're all getting highlighted, is what I'm saying, by being a draft choice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that normally we don't hear about or don't get spotlight.
Well, yeah. Speaking of people that normally don't get the spotlight, Eric Young had a match tonight against Aleister Black.
At least have something.
That was his first match on Raw, right? Since Sanity split.
I've never seen him wrestle on Raw. Have you?
Unless it was like the 24/7 thing, but not a singles match.
No, me either. He looks completely different.
Yeah, it took me a second.
He has tattoos everywhere.
Yeah. He's been doing some producing and stuff backstage.
Has he?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. Aleister Black won that match with the Dark Ritual submission. So that was new.
So, yeah.
More draft picks. Buddy Murphy going to Raw, while Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode are going to SmackDown. Jinder Mahal going to Raw. Carmella staying on SmackDown, but 24/7 champion R-Truth is going to Raw.
Good. This breaks them up. Good.
Yeah. No couples got broken up tonight.
They did that last time, too. They tried not to break up any couples. So.
Carmella and R-Truth did.
But Carmella staying with Corey Graves on SmackDown.
I didn't even know those two were dating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a big part of Total Divas this season, is their relationship. So some of the other names, Matt,
if I'd pointed that out, that was part of Total Divas, like, spend the next 3 minutes giving me shit. Raj says it and just nothing.
I'm trying to move the show along here. I hated watching them tonight.
They had on Total Divas last week, they had an article from our site up on their show.
What?
They had a Wrestling Inc. article about Corey Graves and Carmella last week. That was up.
It was up where?
During the show, during Total Divas. They show the article, and then they show Carmella and Corey Graves reacting to their relationship getting out.
They showed them checking out the freaking dirt mark sheets?
Dirt mark sheets? Excuse me, sir. But yeah, they did show it, yeah.
20 years, Raj, you finally made it on Total Divas.
No, they had us on a Batista special on WWE Network too, which was I was pretty surprised.
Awesome.
About.
At least they're going to the right, you know, freaking place that has not just rumors but truths. But still, nonetheless, as a wrestler, you were taught never to admit that ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The club, Styles, Gallows, Anderson backstage, mixing it up with the Street Profits, setting up a future match between them where Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins are going to get a third partner to go head to head with the OC.
Dude, I thought the Street Profits, I thought they showed just a ton of charisma in these segments. They have so much more charisma than the rest of most of the people on this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff is miss that they're given, but when they're given good material, they can just destroy it. So, and with the OC, that should be pretty good.
Hope so. Hope they give them time.
Mm-hmm.
Ricochet versus Shelton Benjamin, and this was the first of the night. Can you imagine if Shelton Benjamin beats Ricochet? Oh.
Meanwhile, hasn't he beaten like Shawn Michaels before? Hasn't he beaten like he has? I think it's been Triple H actually. Beaten some major stars. People could maybe even make an argument one day. You know, he's a late Hall of Fame member. Maybe. Depends on how WWE feels about him. I don't know. But there's no way in hell that should be. I mean, today would be considered an upset. I get that. But still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Ricochet won, as predicted. Oh, let's talk about this.
I'll take Montez versus AJ.
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
Raj, how'd you feel about the Lana segment tonight?
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that.
Oh, my God, how creepy was that? It was so weird and awkward.
Man, I even tweeted, I'm like, I know my wife's going to walk in during this. And then, no, my 10-year-old daughter did. I was like, Dad, what are you watching? Like, this is actually wrestling, honey.
You should have just said, this is porn. I'm watching porn. Like, it would have been less.
Might as well. It would have been cooler.
I mean, goodness gracious. What the hell was that? Yeah. What was Bobby? What was he? What was up with that smile? What the hell? Well, you'd be calling to me if you're massaging Lana, and someone's probably saying or thinking. No, I don't think I would be. Not like that. No, that was weird. That was creepy.
Yeah.
From yeah. the moment, his gear never changed. His smile was painted on the minute he was in scene until it was done. It was the same smile the entire time. Just glued to his face.
Yeah. I mean, people are talking about it.
Calf muscle? What was the what's there to talk about?
These Lana Bobby Lashley segments. I think the videos are probably
the most watched on YouTube. Whoopee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Raj, why don't you do that for Wrestling Inc.?
So was a good car crash. That was good tons of replays. Great.
Raj, why don't you just actually, as an experiment, you should try for the Wrestling Inc. thumbnails just using the Lana Bobby thumbnail for our recap videos.
Just using that over and over.
Step number. Actually, we'll get very angry comments tuning in, seeing us three talking about this. No, this was really bad. This was really stupid. And we'll talk about the situation with Mike Kanellis later, but man, they're just all in on this angle with Rusev.
I'm confused though. Are they just outright admitting that they're just messing with Rusev's head and there's nothing going on, or is there definitely something going on and they're messing with Rusev?
I think there's definitely something going on. That's what they're trying to imply.
Yeah, but okay.
Yeah.
I just had never seen them talk, just in real life, right? Not that I've ever been this kind of a jerk before, obviously. We try to make somebody jealous that you're supposedly in love with or in with. But think about it. Like, you ever see somebody that you know, screws around on their mate, right? You don't see them sitting there cutting promos about it and just talking trash the entire time as it's happening.
Yeah, it's... This whole thing is weird. I mean, I know people bring up like actors and actresses. They do it all the time, you know, where they're hooking up with other people, but not in front of them. We're in the storyline. You're actually together.
Right.
So it's
So what do you think of this, Rusev? Look how I kiss your girl. weird.
It's weird. I mean, hey, Vince, he's
weird.
He's weird. Remember, he had Eric Bischoff make out with Stephanie and Linda McMahon.
Oh, God.
After that, the contract signing. Jerry Lawler, referred to as like the Raw host, which was weird, out for a contract signing with Tyson Fury and Braun Strowman for Crown Jewel.
Ad nauseum, we're going to continue to sound like we're burying the show. We're not trying to, but Jerry Lawler, I did not was terrible here. Just the opening of it was terrible. Of him introducing them to and supposedly gassing it up, you know what I mean? It's supposed to be a big deal. You have a boxing champion versus the, you know, monster among men. It just felt like he's not been watching the show, I feel. And you feel it. He's not into it.
What was with the pen ending though? Braun smashes the table and Tyson says they're trying to break a pen and can't do it.
Rotten. A bad joke gone awry.
Yeah, I think he was trying to be funny.
He was trying to be cute, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
The entire promo was horrible. Okay, so in wrestling, yes, you're supposed to try to put your opponent over before then daring them or before beating them. But still, they went overboard here. Well, actually, you don't know what you're talking about. My kid, you're my kid's favorite wrestlers. We came here and sat front row to watch you, okay? You. And he would never say that. That's not Tyson Fury. Again, creative getting in the way and telling people how to act in normal, not normal, but in the wrestling sense, normal situations that they should just be able to let shit fly and just react. And it should be okay. It should fit within parameters of the angle and the show. It shouldn't be brain surgery that they continue to make it into by overly scripting them. Yeah. Braun looked very, I hated Braun's promo here. I hated it.
Yeah.
It's bad. The whole thing was just...
This is one of those cases where just WWE just airing a video package would have been so much more effective. Yes. They're so good at those. Just leave it at that. Show who, you know, really show who Tyson Fury is, because so many people don't know.
This is going to hurt Braun. There's a chance for Braun to step out. That a little bit of Brock's shadow, so to speak, as being the main big dog, no pun intended, from Roman Reigns or anything like that, but like the big guy in the show, right? The big freaking killer on the show, main event talent level talent, right? And he's working against a world-class athlete, a famous pop culture, you know, whatever you want to call him, in today's heavyweight champion boxer, right? This should be a bigger deal than this. and they continue to step all over that pop for it by overly scripting them. Even the weigh-in, whatever the hell it was the other day they had, that was terrible.
Yeah. Braun actually mentioning Saudi Arabia, I think that might have been a mistake because they usually don't do that. They'll say Riyadh or but they haven't, I don't think they've said Saudi Arabia on TV yet. Anyway.
After that, they announced more draft picks. Samoa Joe is staying on Raw while The Miz is going to SmackDown. Akira Tozawa is going to Raw. Baron Corbin's going to SmackDown. And Shelton Benjamin going to Monday Night Raw.
I'm fearful of Baron losing a little bit of what he had going on Raw. Yeah. It's, in my opinion, it's harder to be a younger star and get that push on Raw than it is on SmackDown. And they gave him everything on Raw, essentially. But they never got him to the full finish line. What I mean by that, him winning the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And being consistent heel main event talent on that show.
Yeah.
SmackDown, it's... You know, they try to give it to like the next tier down, I would say.
Hmm.
I don't know how to explain it.
He started on SmackDown. He had a decent push, but it was before his new gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick, one point with the Braun Strowman, Tyson Fury stuff. Could you imagine if Austin was cutting a promo on Mike Tyson and was talking about how, you know, his kids love Mike Tyson and want to see him and, you know, or vice versa?
No. It's, no.
Wrestling history would be so different if that's what they did.
You know, I feel the need to point out that the wrestling tonight was really good.
Yes. These matches were pretty darn damn good.
They've got an incredibly talented roster. This is all creative. And so first in December, we got told, oh, the fans, you're in charge now. Then we got told a few months ago, oh, Paul Heyman is taking over. It's all going to be different, folks. And now here we are. Like, somehow it's gotten worse.
It's frustrating. It is. I agree with you guys.
There's a lot of wrestling on the show that was pointless. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't mean that as an insult because to the guys, action, but
no, because the guys that are going to win or the girls that won, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
We all know it.
And I think, okay, so if we're going to be real talk for a second, I think they've driven away a lot of their best talent. I mean, names we know like Ryan Ward or Jimmy Jacobs, names we don't aren't as familiar with, people behind the scenes, but think about the 2016 draft, how optimistic everyone is, how exciting it was. Think about how Heath Slater, undrafted, hottest storyline that summer in all of the WWE, and now we're in this draft, and this just felt like an afterthought tonight. It felt like shuffling a deck of cards, and oh, hey, you ended up with the same hand you had before, just on a different brand.
I gotta be honest, I felt that way about every single draft, except for maybe the first two or three.
Interesting.
I swear.
You didn't think 2016 was better than this?
I don't remember anything from it except for what you just said now, and you had to remind me of it. And then
they had the NXT call-ups. I don't know.
That was cool. No, yeah, that was cool too. You're right.
And Dean Ambrose on SmackDown and Seth Rollins on Raw. Yeah, that one was, you know, and they had Shane and Steph kind of running it. So
I don't remember it though. So yeah. Maybe that was my barometer.
Yeah, you didn't have like. I mean, it's hard to.
Up here. This just made me laugh too much.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's the stage we're at. No, look, I think there was such an.
Put that back on there. I'm going to rip that guy to shreds. Put that back on there. Put it up there. You're going to put comments. You're going to get buried. Matt thinks all bigger talent should get pushes. P.S. My favorite wrestlers are AJ Styles, Ricochet, Kevin Owens. None of them look anything like what you just explained. Bigger talent should get pushes.
So he said that I hate wrestling creative, maybe wrestling in general. I hate shitty wrestling and I hate shitty wrestling creative. Yeah.
I'm just here for a check, Raj.
Well, yeah, you're here for the check.
Slow your roll, Kevin Mitchell. Love you on the Met and like you on the Giants.
Anyhow, no, I just feel like right now, okay, I tweeted this earlier and I realized this was a very sad statement, but I have no clue where WWE is going right now. It seems like everything is up in the air, yet it all feels kind of the same. But with where they're going right now, I feel like it should excite me. And instead, I'm terrified. Like I feel defeated about professional wrestling as it relates to Raw and SmackDown. That's not a good feeling as a fan. You know what I mean? It's not like excitement. It's kind of like, oh, well, they're going to find what I'm feeling is like, oh, they're going to find some way to make this worse somehow.
Which is a terrible feeling. I agree.
They need.
Go ahead.
they just need some like old school like chaos and excitement and unpredictability and really protecting a few people to make it seem like you have some superstars.
Honestly, when I was talking about the beginning of the show, I was being so sincere, so honest of what is the one thing they've not done yet. So I don't get these billions of dollars they put into this product. What is keeping them from trying that one thing? Just try it. You're not going to go away. You're not going to cease to exist. You are still kind of the monopoly in the business, I would argue. Do you know what I mean? Nothing bad's going to happen to you guys. What's the worst that can happen if you go without these 35,000 different creative team members and go with the way it used to be? Well, it's a different product now. There's so many different platforms and TV shows. Well, guess what? Only two matter: SmackDown, Raw, and okay, now NXT.
Yeah.
You guys have enough people within that industry that can do a good job. Road Dogg, there's so many others. I would definitely keep it to former wrestlers because that's the way wrestling has always, I thought, been at its best. Granted, Russo had a very good run during the Attitude Era, and some others did as well. Brian Gerwitz did a good job.
Yeah.
And there has been some other really good creative team, but it wasn't 300 team creative team members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they weren't scripting them so heavily.
And Firefly Funhouse is proof that talent can and do something amazing. And instead, they're like running that into the ground rather than like what I would do is similar to how NXT, you hear the stories like when Tyler Breeze talked about when he came up with this gimmick, Dusty said, go off and shoot 10 different characters and we're going to pick the one that's best. They should let talent workshop this stuff with writers, come up with their own ideas, and then just put the best ones on TV. Do it like Saturday Night Live does, where people pitch things and the best stuff makes it on the air. But Lorne Michaels isn't rewriting the entire script an hour before they go on the air each week.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I just don't see what's so hard about trying this. You've tried everything else.
These promos aren't working. Why not try giving your talent more control?
Yeah. What is the worst thing that can happen? They curse accidentally. They're not going to do that. What's the worst thing?
Yeah. You know, I take an accidental real curse over a scripted bitch bomb again. For the 800th time.
I would too.
I
don't know what we're missing here. I feel like there's an answer there that nobody's sharing with us. Like, that's an obvious answer that we're all going to be like, oh, no wonder why they have to
create. No, they say it's Vince. I mean, Raji, how many former writers have you talked to? And they'll go on and on. And then ultimately, when you wear them down, they just come right out and they're like, well, it's Vince.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, all the time. And you hear how many of them. So many of them who have great ideas and great storylines that are just, you know, it's just scrapped up and, you know, torn up and thrown away the day of the show. And then Vince just rewrites it all the way he wants. So
let's just friggin' meet at the end then. Let's just, you know, just have Vince do that then at least. I don't know, but then let the guys and gals do their own promos at least.
Yeah. I mean, you saw Jericho's promo last week and that thing was, it was awesome. I mean, Jericho.
And then WWE's sitting there going, okay, we don't have, you know, 72 Jerichos on our rosters that can just do that. We have young pups that are just, you know, growing into their paws, so to speak. They still got baby paws. You know what I mean?
Until you give them a chance, you're never going to have it.
Yeah. That's what helps them grow.
Yeah.
That's what makes you mature as a performer, is getting those moments to get those responsibilities to be yourself out there and try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Buddy Murphy versus Cedric Alexander.
Again, great match. I love this match, actually.
When's the last time Cedric got a win on TV?
I
just feel like he keeps getting these high-profile losses. It was against AJ, now against Buddy.
I'm all for Buddy winning.
Well, Buddy's good.
Yeah, Cedric's been definitely, because he was in that U.S. title feud with AJ for a little bit, and then they kind of dropped him pretty quick. It's that whole, what we were talking about earlier, where
that's exact the epitome of the example you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. The final round of the draft picks tonight, Rey Mysterio staying on Raw, Chad Gable staying on SmackDown, or Shorty Gable, as it were, Titus O'Neil staying on Raw, Elias staying on SmackDown, and Liv Morgan going to Raw.
I hope they do something with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yes, Clayford. NWA's promos were great.
Those were awesome.
I suggest everybody check out that show. That was awesome power with 3 R's.
Booker T teasing a blockbuster trade to be made in the next 24 hours.
I mean, who could it be? Maybe. I don't know.
What? Say that again.
Booker is teasing in the next 24 hours there will be a blockbuster trade. They're going to reveal it on the FS1 show tomorrow night.
Was Booker WWE talent or on his like random podcast or something?
No. This is a show he and Renee are hosting on FS1 Tuesday nights.
Yeah, it's
the trade.
The only really big name I could think of would be something like a Ronda Rousey or something like that. I mean, all the other big names.
They mentioned her tonight on commentary.
They did. All the other big names are kind of taken, right? You got Roman and Bray.
Is it Ronda for Charlotte or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, she had left to start a family. That hasn't happened yet. And
Ronda could be a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. What else is there?
CM Punk, John Morrison.
A trade has to be something that's already happened.
Yeah, they're currently on the roster. Yes, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're already set in stone. I mean, it seems to me that if Bray is facing Seth in 2 weeks at Crown Jewel, it seems like that would make sense. Yeah.
No, if that's the wrong one.
Oh. Is that his prediction? Oh, sorry.
To show this guy.
$10 from Baby.
The War Room segments was one of the cringiest things I've seen in wrestling ever. Can we see the wrestler reactions? Exactly. Not these idiots. Nobody knows who they are.
I do like the name on top of it, Baby.
All right.
Good job.
Then this was the main event tonight. Kairi Sane and Asuka versus Natalya, and Natalya had a mystery tag team partner. Who's it going to be? Well, the woman she's been feuding with, she had the last woman standing match with last week, Lacey Evans. So we had Natalya and Lacey Evans versus Asuka and Kairi Sane tonight, with Asuka and Kairi Sane picking up the win.
What were we going to say? Go ahead.
This was a very long match. This was the main event of the show, really, before that tease at the end. Yes.
Did you not think those two could coexist?
I mean, it seemed a little abrupt, right?
It's incredibly random. Why would they be a team?
Yeah, at least with Cesaro and Sheamus, they had the best of seven. Mick Foley put them together. There was a story.
Seems way too soon to make Lacey a babyface. Maybe it was just a one-night thing because she's going to SmackDown.
She is one badass heel, man.
Yeah, she's got her character down. It's still so new. It doesn't need to be watered down as a baby face right now.
So Asuka and Kairi Sane.
She's awesome.
I mean, I'm all for them giving Asuka and Kairi Sane time, but geez, this 30-minute match, you know, at the end of this show.
At 10:57, we cut to the bad for
them. I felt that was unfair to ask that much of them. Talents that they've not been featuring to pull anchor like that. Are you crazy?
Yeah. It was a long match, and nothing wrong with it. It's just this point in the show,
we've not been giving them enough TV time to warrant saying, hey guys, here's 30 minutes. Please pull out the end of the show for us in the main event. But yeah, you're also in the main event wrestling match.
Right.
We've not been featuring you at all, but good luck.
Yeah. Now, Asuka had the face paint and she looked awesome. Really cool.
Yeah.
So 3 minutes before they go off the air, we cut to the Firefly Funhouse. Bray's in there talking. Then Seth shows up inside the Firefly Funhouse, beats down Bray Wyatt, sets the place on fire.
No, 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 no,
no. Bray is asking Seth why he's doing this to him.
First of all, you don't get to go to the funhouse. None of us do. It's in this magic place that none of us can get to. It's on the end of a rainbow somewhere. None of us can ever be invited. We don't know what parallel universe it's in. There's so many different questions that go on where this place really is. And apparently, it's just in somebody's back TV lot, and anyone can just show up whenever the hell they want, taking all the mystique away from it. And make matters worse, Seth Rollins goes over in the funhouse. The most successful segment in anything to do with Raw whatsoever, they burned down.
And Seth, when he was dropping those punches and they had the exaggerated sound effects, it was just brutal.
He doesn't have special powers. Can we go back to this for a minute? He doesn't have special powers. When I watched those Funhouse segments, I assumed Bray Wyatt was using these special powers to create this place and somehow get it on the TV show. Don't ask me how. I don't care. Somehow he gets it on there through his magic powers, his Undertaker magic, Mystique powers, whatever you want to call it, voodoo. And it's not a real place. You can't really go there. It's not like a
right.
location you can just show up at. At least that's what I always thought it was.
Yeah, it was like his happy place. Yeah. But it was kind of really dark as well. Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's not a freaking honeycomb hideout where everyone gets to come in and get the damn code and come on in. You knock and you're in. What the freak? I can't believe that is.
Yeah.
Why did nobody go, well, wait a minute here, guys. I don't know if this is such a great idea. Where was that guy in the creative team? That's what I want to know.
Vince probably ordered him to go get everybody coffee.
And you have the hottest character you've had in years. You're just pissing it away.
Years.
Yes. I mean, when was the last time they had a character as hot as Bray? I guess Braun, and they kind of did the same thing with him.
I don't think we were this excited.
No. Yeah. This
excited because this was so outside the friggin' galaxy, not the box, galaxy of what the freak is this we're watching. Remember?
Yeah.
It was different.
It's the most different thing I think I've seen at a high level. You know, the only thing that comes close, in modern wrestling would probably be Matt Hardy with the broken stuff.
Good call on that, actually. Do you remember, like, it made your brain do that? You're like, do I hate this yet? Do I like right. Oh, yeah. Like, the first few weeks. It was so good. It still could be good. It is good. Everything Bray Wyatt does is great with this stuff. But I can't believe they literally just killed it all.
Yeah.
And they're hurting Seth. The crowd was booing him something fierce tonight.
Oh, well, figure something else out. What you should have done is ignore it, pretend it didn't happen, and have him get the freak away from Bray Wyatt, never to be heard from again, that angle, ever again.
So do they have, what do you think? Do they have Bray beat Seth?
I don't know why they keep going back to it. What are they thinking? It's going to continue to get worse unless Bray Wyatt eats his face off his skull.
Yeah.
That is the only plausible outcome for Bray Wyatt not getting any on him here.
And now that they announced it, I feel like they have to have Bray win. I think is you can't have him lose his first, after that last ending, you can't have Bray lose.
It's just either way, nothing here good happens. I still argue him winning the title is not the best thing for him because they're going to have him do corny stuff and it boxes him in too much, him being a champion, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He is bigger than that championship. When have we ever said anything like that about a talent?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I don't recall ever thinking that. Mm-hmm. He is. He's something to me on this different stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be tough. I mean, maybe this is a way they boost
the ratings. Thanks, Allie Love 11G.
They boost the ratings for Crown Jewel with this. But he has to win. I don't know. I'm curious what kind of reaction he gets there.
What was that?
I'm curious what kind of reaction this match gets there if it's like Hell in a Cell. I mean, I don't think the audience is going to turn on it, but I also wonder if they're going to get it.
I have no idea what the hell's going on. Would you? I mean,
I don't know.
Yes. Please, Bobby Burns. And even NXT.
Yeah.
Please. I love NXT.
Yeah. I mean, I almost would have liked it.
SmackDown's cooler too, by the way. Raw is just terrible. Sorry.
It is the worst. I wouldn't have minded if they'd had Bray wake up at the end. It was all a dream.
Oh, you can only save yourself with that, yes.
You know, something. But no, Seth literally burned it down. When Randy Orton did it with the Shack, it made more sense. That was a physical place. Bray was a creature of this realm.
Time out.
Yeah.
Tyrant alert. Seriously, tirade alert going on here. Hold up. So he just went and burned down. You just heard what I said, what my opinion of that is. Now you just reminded me, hang on. This wasn't even original. They copied Randy Orton doing the same goddamn thing.
Right.
Bray Wyatt's other happy place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever the hell it was. It was recent, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that.
In fact, you could almost look at it if you ignore a lot of the
I am so frustrated right now.
And here, Matt, maybe this is why it bothers you, okay? So follow my geek logic on this. Mm-hmm. If you ignore a lot of the stupid shit that happened after that, Bray, that being burned down, it's kind of like when they killed Freddy Krueger, and then he went to the Dream Realm, and he became otherworldly. So Bray became this otherworldly figure. One thing I never liked about the Elm Street movies, some of the endings, they would be like, oh, well, we're going to find a way to go into the dream. Or if you wear these 3D glasses, you're going to get Freddy vision. Like, mm-hmm. It just didn't quite make sense. So the idea that Seth could find his way to Bray makes no sense whatsoever, because in Elm Street, the way it should work is you defeat Freddy, Freddy comes to you, you lay a trap and you beat him. It doesn't work that you go hunting for him.
No, you fall asleep and you have to be able to have somewhat control of your dreams is how I remembered it.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you have to enter the dream world.
Yeah.
So with that's where it made no sense.
Something like that, you're screwed because you're knocked out and you're unconscious. You have no idea what's going to happen in your dreams.
So how did Seth find this? That's the part to me that the geek logic is this is ridiculous.
It is. It's ridiculous at all that they thought this was a good move to have Seth burn his – like, think about what's happened here. He just hit him over the face with what was it, a mallet? Twice? What do you call it? Sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer.
Yeah, it was with the sledgehammer.
And now they have to go into his crazy, you know, his fun house and burn that. I mean, they kind of make him a dick.
Yeah,
don't they know we like Bray Wyatt? Have they not gotten that memo yet that this dude is so creative and cool and we all like him? We're not going to boo him.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not going to happen, WWE. So instead, you're making Seth Rollins become the biggest heel on the damn show by taking that away from us.
Yeah. It's a weird time, man. This was a weird episode. It's a weird time. And in all of this, Mike Kanellis has requested his release from the WWE. Matt, how are you going to be able to go to sleep tonight?
Wait, why?
So he posted a lengthy thing on Twitter.
I'm confused. I'll explain his deal, though, real quick. What was his last deal?
He just re-signed a five-year deal.
For how much?
Rumored a lot.
The official number never came out, but it's rumored to be, you know, six figures, like mid six figures.
What does that mean? Mid, like $500,000?
Mm-hmm. Maybe
it could be $250 each. It could be $250. Maria, $250 for Mike. But he had just re-signed, like in June, a five-year deal. Today he took to Twitter, said he asked for his release. He's been given, you know, the opportunity with WWE for 3 years, and he's grateful, but he doesn't want to just work one day a week. He wants to have these awesome matches, and his kids watch his matches. He wants to work, you know, in front of UK crowds, German crowds, Japanese crowds. He wants to have 30-minute matches. And he feels like it's just wasting his, you know, prime years right now. So
I agree with that. He's a dad now. Like, my everybody's scope usually changes when you become a father or a mother, usually.
Mm-hmm.
In his defense, I wasn't young when I became a dad. Like, my wrestling, I was pretty over it. I was going to go back to WWE for one more run, but, like, I don't know how long that would have lasted. Mm-hmm. He's still got to go get that chase on. He hasn't gotten it out of his system yet. But as a parent, with the money that he's making, dude, Mike, you were set, man. Both you guys were.
Yeah, and we saw what happened with Luke Harper when he posted on Twitter that he was asking for his release. They sat him out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The popular theory on wrestling Twitter today is he's doing this so he doesn't have to travel and he can just sit home and collect a check.
Good on you, Mike, if that's what you're doing, bro.
I mean, is Maria going to stay? Granted, she's about to give birth, but she's come back.
Man.
This is just, look at how he's been used. I can easily see.
It has to tear away at him. We're human. It would tear away at me. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that his kid isn't his, you know, if guessing who the father is.
Who you are, you do it to Brock Lesnar, I don't care how tough the person is, it would get to him. There's nobody on this planet that would not penetrate up here and F with. None of us could overcome that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I have your attention now? I was asking if you're still mayor. Yes, Matt is still the mayor. Yeah, so anyway, so Mike Kanellis, we'll see what happens. WWE is not really releasing many people right now. They did with Sean Spears, but that was kind of and Kenta. But now with AEW running, they're really not. So we'll see.
We'll see. What's going on with New Japan?
So New Japan, there was a hurricane. A typhoon, sorry. And that caused a lot of travel woes. Jon Moxley was unable to make it to King of Pro Wrestling. So he was stripped of the New Japan US title. And Lance Archer ended up facing Juice Robinson at the event and won the title. So Lance Jon Archer Moxley. Yeah, Lance Archer. He's the new U.S. champion.
He's a good worker. Underrated, man.
Yeah. Underrated, so,
man. That's cool. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
He's one of the good guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wednesday, got AEW NXT coming up.
Oh, wait. Let's talk about these SmackDown numbers real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So, SmackDown, like we mentioned, it did the final number was 2.877 million viewers. So down over a million from 3.888 last week.
I still thought SmackDown was better than Raw tonight.
I thought they were both pretty bad. It was better in that it wasn't 3 hours. but I had a hard time sitting through it.
I'm still digging the new aesthetics of the show, I think.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. See that. So still won the night in the demo, SmackDown did, but it was number 4 overall in viewership. Just a huge 25% drop. AEW also had like a 28% drop from last week. So both those shows had big drops. AEW was also on True TV. We'll see, you know, where they kind of end up this week.
On what TV?
It was also airing on True TV.
True? TRU?
Yeah.
How did that work?
There was a baseball game, so they were worried that if it ran late, it was going to preempt it on TNT. So they also had a simulcast airing on True TV just in case.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's what happens when you work with a TV network like that. That's so cool to have that ability, by the way. That's the ability to do something like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, we'll see where the numbers fall. I'm guessing it's probably going to drop a little bit more again this week. I would think AEW drops a little. SmackDown, I think, is still going to drop quite a bit. Because they did have the draft episode, which is usually one of the highest rated episodes of the year. So
here's the thing. I don't care about ratings. Normally I know you have to report it because people are interested. That's generally what makes the wrestling world goes around as far as the success is measured per se. I as a fan, I don't care what the ratings are. I care if I like enjoy the shows or not and the storylines. I still think AEW and NXT are still so much more way up here compared to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that they go head to head.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm into the numbers, so I enjoy it. Our biggest article now on Thursdays is the AEW versus NXT
rating. Did you do the quarter hour breakdown?
You know what? We should start posting that. Those are.
As far as the rest of that is what we used to always like, oh, look up and see like what you performed at. And I always used to say, like, it's not fair because if you have an 8-minute match within that 15-minute segment,
right?
With Kurt Angle promo backstage of him frigging smacking Kevin Nash in his face, that makes people tune in for whatever reason. Well, Matt Morgan gets the credit for it technically because it was his match. No.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know better than that, but per the ratings, I had a high score out of ratings. So, right. Second, man, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, it's tough. So I'd always ask if I could get the minute to minute, which was like next to impossible to get. But sometimes I would get.
Oh,
that comp play would hook me up.
Oh, that's cool.
No, absolutely. Wednesday night, we get to do this all again. We get to watch two wrestling shows and come on this podcast, talk about them with our audience.
Yeah,
my favorite night.
It'll be good.
I feel like the 4 hours that we watch in 2 hours is easier to watch than the 3 hours on Monday night.
It's exciting. It's not exciting. Boring. I think it's exciting as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be good. Matt Morgan, anything to plug?
No.
He's at VP Matt Morgan on the Twitter and the Instagram.
I'm going to plug Ryback's up so he can hook me up.
Let's just all just start doing all our podcasts on Ryback's feed.
I thought I was very I thought I was a lot slicker with this before you just finally realized what I was doing.
Some people asking about Edge. We don't know. He was in Pittsburgh last week for WWE related reasons, so we'll keep an eye on that, and if there's anything new, we'll let you guys know. Tomorrow night there is going to be that big trade that they're hyping, so check out wrestlinginc.com for, you know, whatever comes out of it. We'll have it on the site.
Yeah. Stay tuned. He is Rajgiri _303. I am at Glenn Rubenstein on Twitter, and we will catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.